But I'm glad you're here. Really, like this sermon topic has been challenging. This particular sermon I have been stirring on, thinking about, studying for months for this particular one right here, and because this one is hard. This one is hard. Okay, so if you don't know, we are marveling at our salvation. We've been talking about for a long time all of the awesome benefits that come with our salvation. And so we've talked about forgiveness, and we've talked about worship and prayer and the Bible and all this stuff that we've talked about that comes with our salvation, because the Lord doesn't want to just give you salvation just like this ticket to heaven. Here's your ticket to heaven, and then live however you want to live, or live destitute and terrible lives or whatever. No, Jesus came so that you can have life and have it to the full. And so part of what he's given us is love, and that's what we've been talking about for a long time now, several weeks. And we've been working our way through the definition of love, through the biblical definition of love. So let's read that. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so we are now... we're now in Bears All Things. That's where we're at. That's what we're talking about this week. And this one is tough. This one is tough because bears all things. All things. That's a huge assignment for us, because people in our lives are difficult, right? We have difficulties in our lives with people. We have difficulties in our lives. But God's love is not like that. It doesn't, he will allow us. Well, I'm stepping on my sermon later. Okay, so what is it? What is Bears All Things? We always answer five questions. What is it? How is God like this? What would it be like to love our neighbor this way, our family this way, and our God this way? So what is it? There's nothing you can do to love to make it stop loving. That's what Bears All Things means. There's nothing you can do to love to make it stop loving. Bears All Things is Bears All Things. And that's hard to hear, because we're not good at that. We're not good at bearing all things. We're barely good at bearing a few things. How many of us know that we sort of lose our patience with humans pretty quick? But love will take abuse after abuse after abuse after abuse after abuse, and so on and so on and so on. In fact, I'm not even certain. In fact, how about this? I'm certain that humans are not capable of this kind of love outside of the Holy Spirit. I just don't even think we're capable of doing this outside of understanding the love that God has for us, outside of understanding the way his love works in our lives, and outside of understanding how much abuse we've put him through. It bears all things, abuse after abuse after abuse after abuse. The love takes it all. It bears all things. I don't think we're even capable of doing that without God. But God is capable of this. He literally, bore our sins. God bears all things. He literally bore all of our sins, every one of them. He allows us to abuse him and abuse him and abuse him and abuse him. In fact, you could become a Christian. Now, one would say you probably didn't become a Christian, but one could become a Christian and use Jesus like a doormat. Walk on him, stomp on his love, treat it however you want it, go about your business doing evil and horrible things. You could do all that and still make it to heaven, because that's what his love is like. I don't think we are capable of doing that. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Yes, Adam Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that we could all see how sinful we are. Sinful we were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as in sin rolled over all the people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But as as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Now, I don't think we should treat God like a doormat. I don't think we should treat his love like it's disposable or like it's never ending. I think we should treat God. I think we should try to love God and do things for him the way he wants him to be done. But the truth remains, you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Let's look at another scripture here, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from God's love. You cannot out-sin the grace of God. You cannot out-sin the love of God. And so if we're going to love people, then, you know, as people sin against us, we have to consume all of that in the same way that he did. We are not God, though. We're humans. I want to look at one more scripture here. This is 1 John 2. 1 and 2, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. The sins of all the world. So, you know, I mentioned this, I think, last week. People say, or maybe Good Friday. You know, people will say, you know, Jesus was thinking about you when he hung on the cross. And it's like this platitude that people say. And you're like, oh, that's lovely and nice. But connect it with this. Because the earth went dark for 3 hours. 3 hours. And during that time, the sin of all of the world was laid on Jesus Christ. Now, I'm certain that the Lord can move pretty fast through sin. But at some moment on the cross, all my sin, excuse me, was laid on Jesus. Every one of them. Now, I don't know if God did it by first name or if he did it, if he organized it by the severity of sin or by age or whatever. I'm not sure Gene would have gone first if that was the case. But I don't know. I don't know how that worked. But he laid all of the sin. And so at some point, your sin came up on the cross. You came up on the cross. And when you think, like when you really let that sink in, that's so heavy. Jesus actually thought about me on the cross. It's not just a platitude. It's not just something that is being said. But God himself took all the sin and just laid it on Jesus. Man, that's heavy. And we're expected to love that way all the people in our lives. We're supposed to be patient and kind, not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. We're not supposed to demand our own way with every human we meet, every one of them, including those who are horrible to be around. We are tasked with loving every human unstoppable. Our love should be unstoppable. People should not be able to sin against us enough to make us stop loving them. So let's do this, though. I feel like I need to stop and do this. Love is required. It is required of your Christian walk. Relationship is not required. These two are two separate things. You are, no matter what has happened to you, if you've been through, and I'm sure in this room, there have been some terrible abuses to people that have happened in this room. Some horribly unmentionable things we don't want to discuss. I lived through some pretty horrible stuff myself. While we are required to love the people that abuse them, we are not required to have relationship with those people. Now, God always desired to have relationship. Love still desires to have relationship, but it is not required. Let's look at some scriptures here because I feel like this is an important point. We don't want to, continue to be abused by the same people over and over. We don't want to be those people. We need to continue to love regardless, but we don't want to continue to be abused. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-loving God, they worshiped idols made to look like people, mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they lived vile and degrading. They did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. And so God abandoned them to whatever shameful things their heart desired. God, here's the way I picture our Christian life. I feel like when you get saved, that first moment you get saved, it's just you and Jesus, right? You and Jesus are just best friends. There's nothing between you. There's no sin between you. All of that's been torn down. Now you got a whole new fresh start on your relationship with God. God, the Father, this glorious God, you've got this relationship with Him that's open and free to... There's nothing in between you. All of your sin has been laid at the cross. That doesn't mean you're perfect. I don't mean that. But now your salvation is secure, and you've got perfect relationship with Him. Now, here's how I picture this. I picture it like a brick wall. So every time I sin, every time I have unrepented sin in my life, it's like building a little rock wall between me and God. And so God never moves, right? It ain't God that's moving. It's me that's building this rock wall. God's love is still there all the time, right there. But as I continue to build this wall, until it's all the way around me, until it's all the way in between my relationship with God. Now if I want anything from Him, I've got to shout through this wall of sin. I've got to shout through this wall of unrepented horribleness that I've got. Now, God didn't move. He didn't go anywhere. But He's on the other side of this wall of sin that I've built between me and God. And so the only way I know to tear that down is repentance. Father, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to be that way. I wish I wasn't this way. God, help me. Help me. And so slowly you can kind of rebuild that relationship as you sort of tear down this wall. But God's always there, always wanting relationship with you. Always His love is there. It's behind this wall that we've built. His desire to have relationship with it. But He will let you build that wall. He will let you walk away. And so you got somebody in your life who is abusing you. You got somebody in your life who there's no two-way street to the relationship. It's all one-sided, right? You got somebody who's in your life who cheats on you, who treats you terrible, who physically puts their hands on you, who assaults you or abuses you physically, mentally, you know, however. Right? We're not forced to maintain relationship with those people. If they can't be held responsible for my emotions, if they can't be held responsible for like my love to them, then maybe I just need to let that brick wall stand. Maybe that's best. Let's look at some other scriptures here. This is Matthew chapter 5. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. So, that's not like the most happy scripture on planet Earth. But I say that a man who divorces a wife, unless she has been unfaithful. So the Lord here, he hates divorce. He's very clear about that. He hates divorce. But there's permission for it. If there's no give and take in this relationship, if it's all one-sided, then he allows that relationship to be severed. You don't have to keep relationship with those that are against you. I want to read one more scripture here. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, you must not cheat anyone, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's one thing you haven't done," he told them. "Go and sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. I think this is an important story for this point. When the guy refused to follow the rules, when the guy refused to meet Jesus at the relationship that Jesus wanted, and he walked away, Jesus let him go. He didn't stop. Okay. Maybe just sell a few things and hang out with us for a while, and then sell a few more things and hang out with us a little bit longer. No, Jesus let him walk away. So the point here is but Jesus still wanted relationship with him. Always. I mean, we don't know the rest of the story. Maybe the guy 2 years later sold all of his stuff and came and started following Jesus. Maybe after the cross, he was like, "Oh man, I totally missed it, but now I'm down," and he you know, sold all of his stuff and followed Jesus that way. Maybe. We don't know the rest of the story. We know his name's not in the Bible. Like, if he had done it right, I bet his name would be in there. The point is, we're to still desire relationship. We're to still love. You have to love. You're not allowed to not love, but you are allowed to not have a relationship with. And I just feel like that's an important distinction, because when you hear that love bears all things, does that mean I have to continue to get beat by my husband? Does that mean I have to continue to get put down by my boss? Does that mean I have to continue to get abused, like emotionally and all of these ways, by my coworkers, by my whoever in your life? No, it doesn't mean that. You have to always desire a good relationship with them. You have to always love them. You have to always, but you don't have to allow them into your lives. There comes a time when you can say, enough is enough, and move on. Where that line is, I don't know. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. And really it is. Like, I can't say, "Oh, well, once they put your hand on you one time, then roll on." I can't say that. Maybe God wants you to stay for a few more times. I have no idea. I can't say that. But the Holy Spirit will make it clear to you. And this is heavy stuff. This is not the fluffy sermon that you're, you know, that like, "Oh, we'll all be happy in unicorns and rainbows." No, this is hard things that we're talking about. And so if you get in a situation like this with people who are abusing you, then you need to lean into the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that can tell you when it's time to go. Okay. I hope I covered that right. I have been thinking on this and praying on this and studying on this for a very long time. Okay, now what would it mean to love your neighbor this way? What would it mean to love your neighbor in such a way that you bear all things? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you're going to judge the world and can't decide these things, these little things among yourselves. Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Why not let yourselves be cheated? Now, this is Paul fussing at the Corinthians here for suing each other. So, Miss Vicky makes me mad, and I take her to court or whatever, right in front of a, like, this. That's what this is talking about right here. And so the Lord is, Paul is, the Bible is telling us, just let yourself get cheated. What would it be like to love our neighbor this way? Just let yourself get cheated. In traffic. I know I bring up traffic a lot. I know I do, like, and in traffic. Okay, so it takes you two or three extra cars before somebody lets you out. Just let yourself get cheated. It's just, you're just not in that big of a hurry. Where do you have to go that the timing to be there is so urgent that you have to be there, like, exactly on time? Where are you going? I mean, of course, you're supposed to be at work on time, but really, like, you should have left earlier if it's really that pressing, right? If it's like this big of a deal, then leave early. Like with school, I don't know why I'm telling this, but with school, we're supposed to be there at like 7:30, but we were getting there like 7:35, 7:38. Anyway, and so we just started backing up. So now we start shouting, shoes on, coats on, at like 12 after, so that we can get moving, right? Because the later you shout shoes on, because, I mean, you guys get it. You've dressed kids before, right? It's just, you can start shouting, and you can be shouting for me. You even have to get it. Okay, all right, never mind. The point is, leave earlier. If it's that big of a deal, leave earlier. Just let yourself get cheated. It takes you longer to get out of a parking lot because, you know, it's a concert's over or whatever, and it takes you longer because you're letting people out or whatever. Just let yourself get cheated. It's not that big of a deal. Your next door neighbor, he borrows your shovel, your whatever, your rake, your whatever, and he never brings it back. Just go buy another one, right? There's no sense in hating him or. You know, raising a big stink in your neighborhood or whatever it is, just let yourself get cheated. That's what it would be like to love our neighbor this way. Or your job, somebody else gets a promotion. Just let yourself get cheated, right? They got their promotion because they're always sucking up to the boss. It's not fair. You're right. Just let yourself get cheated. It's okay. That's love. I mean, I'm not saying that the Lord wouldn't tell you to fight for yourself sometimes, but I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, if you love, if your default is love, then that's going to pay off in big ways later when you get to heaven. So you didn't get the promotion here because your coworker's a suck-up. Okay, well, someday maybe you'll have a bigger house than he does in heaven. I don't know how it works, but it'd be worth it. It'll be worth it. I mean, it's hard to put yourself in that perspective now, but it'll be worth it. Or somebody's gossiping about you. If it's not true, just let yourself get cheated. It's not that important to go fighting over it, right? The Bible tells us to live in such a way that nobody would have anything bad to say about you. Just let yourself get cheated. All right, Romans chapter 9. Verse 1, what would it be like to love your family this way? With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief. For my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed cut off from Christ if that would save them. That is some next level love. And I have never in all of my Christian years been able to connect with that scripture. Because what he's saying here is, I would go to hell if all my Jewish brothers and sisters would go to heaven. Honestly, I can't even say that about my children. I can't say that about my wife. I can't say that about you guys. I would not be willing to do that. That's eternity you're talking about. He's talking about being cut off from Christ for eternity so that his brothers and sisters in Jewish relationship could go to heaven. That is some next level love right there. That is some bears all things right there. It doesn't give up. God, Paul was willing to go to hell. Now, fortunately, that's not a deal he could make. And I'm glad it's not a deal you could make. I'm glad it's not, because I don't see me sacrificing like that for anybody in my life. And I wish I could say that. I wish I could. I wish I could say that I love my kids enough to say I'll go to hell if they can go to heaven. But I can't bring myself there. I wish I could. Maybe Gene. That would maybe the only one. That's some next level love right there. So, do you love your family that way? Do you love them enough to say, I would go to hell if they could go to heaven? If it was guaranteed. That's hard. That's hard. But that's what love bears all things means. Okay. Then finally, what would it be like to love God this way? I got one more scripture for you here. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, what would it be like to love God this way? Well, you have nothing to bear with God, because God has never wronged you. I've said this like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. God has never wronged you. You have no wrongs in your life that you can attribute to God. It's all attributed to your own sin, the people around you sin. God has never wronged you, never. So there's nothing to bear with God. Now, what you might have to do with God that might cause some bearing is he might call you to Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Or to work at a restaurant. I hope Dad's not watching. I'm sorry. I hope you're not watching. I hope he's not watching. Anyway, he might call you to do something you don't want to do. All right. That was cool. And we have to be, if we're going to love God, then we have to be willing to bear all things. That means living in a mud hut in Botswana, Africa. It might mean living where it's super hot in like Nicaragua. It might mean getting on an airplane or taking a shot if you don't want to do it. It's what it might mean. Bears all things for your relationship with God, who's given himself. God gave all of his love. He put up all of your sin, and now he's asking for you to go to this place that would be uncomfortable. That's what he's asking for. That's what he's asking for. I am willing to put myself out there. That's God saying, I'm willing to put myself out there so that you, now I'm asking in return that you bear all my stuff. I want you to tell all my children. So does that mean you might have to talk to somebody about Jesus at the grocery store? Yes, it might mean that. Does that mean you might have to turn off the TV and read the Bible? Yeah, it might mean that. Does that mean that you have to show up here on Wednesday night and help us put the tent up? Yeah, it might mean that. We have to bear all things. We have to bear all the things that God wants from us, including loving those that abuse us. Yes. Love is hard, you guys. I mean, we've been at this now for, I don't know, a couple of months, maybe longer. And the deeper we go into this, it feels like it the harder and harder it gets. Love requires everything that we are. And we're bad at it. But by God's grace, we can get better. And so I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying that we as a church begin to love like in real biblical love, that you guys will love each other with real biblical love, that you'll love the people in your lives with real biblical love. That's what I'm praying. I'm praying that this isn't just like a sermon that bounces around in your head, and then by the time you get to the parking lot, it's gone. I'm praying that this is sticking to you and that God's Spirit is convicting you over this. It certainly is working on me. All right, let me pray for you, and then we're going to go. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for being awesome. You're good. You are holy. You're wonderful. We praise you in every way. God, we pray that we love deeply. And perfectly. Help us to love perfectly, Father. Just like you do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.